I want to preach to you a very personal message tonight. And before I give you my scripture, I'm going to give you my title, and we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you a question. I want to preach to you on this topic. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Pray for us, Cole, and let's ask the Lord to help us.
Lord God, I pray for the service right now. God,
yes,
I
Jesus.
I pray that you do
hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory, glory, glory to your wonderful name.
Another service, God,
oh, hallelujah.
God. I pray that you use my dad, God.
Yes, Lord.
Him, God,
help us,
God,
Father, to please you tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I have a question for you. So if you're into looking all over the place other than the pulpit or talking, kind of kill that tonight. I want you to get involved with me. How many of you, don't answer this if you don't really mean it, are thankful for the church? How many of you, I want you to raise your hand when I ask this question. Some of you, I see you on your phones. Nothing's more important than what I'm preaching right now. How many of you have had the church or people in the church specifically be a blessing in your life, especially during a very critical and important time? Once you raise your hand. Okay, so most hands have gone up, and I wouldn't expect anything less than that, and thank you, and I'm glad. So now let's go to my scripture, Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Acts 9 and 15. Two verses. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And speaking of Paul, and the word suffer, listen, it has several different meanings to it that are very important. Watch. Number one, to experience a sensation or impression. So there isn't an emotional experience when it comes to suffering. Now, it could be painful. It doesn't mean that it feels good, all right? But it also means to feel or to have passion. Now, that's very important, very, very important. So watch this. The Lord said, I'm going to show Paul what great things he needs to feel. For my name's sake, what pain he might feel, the emotions that he might feel, the joy that he might feel, all of those things are all encompassing. You say, can you have pain and joy at the same time? Ask any mother here that's given birth. I can assure you the joy probably outweighs the pain. And so God is teaching us that I'm going to take Paul and I'm going to show him the things that he's got to feel. Pain, joy, heartache, sorrow, all of those things for my name's sake. Now, we're going to read some scripture about Paul and about this journey after he was called. The first one is in Romans chapter 1, verse 13. If you don't, and everybody is so far, but if you don't pay, I'm just worried, I'm just going to walk. I'll carry my iPad, I'm going to walk. Romans 1, 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Now watch. So Paul desired to go unto them, but he was unable because of his circumstance and more likely prison in most of these situations. So the desire, there's a suffering. I want to be there. Have you ever wanted to be with somebody you love or people that you love and you couldn't? It can cause you a lot of heartache. Now watch. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Leave that up there. Don't move it. I am debtor. So Paul said, I am in debt to the Greeks and to the barbarians. So the barbarians would be the heathens. Both to the wise and the unwise. Go ahead. Flip that page. Now, I would not have you ignorant brethren that oftentimes, I thought it looked longer than what it was. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now watch this. I want you to observe what's happening. This is powerful. So Paul is telling us, I am in debt to the Greeks and to the barbarians, and now I have a desire to preach to those of you at Rome also, those that persecuted me, those that seek after my life. Now watch. The Lord said, I'm going to show him the things that he's going to suffer. Again, that word suffer, it's going to be a feeling, an emotion, pain sometimes, sorrow, joy. Here Paul is, he's indebted. He said, this is not an option. It's my responsibility. Or you could even go so far as to say, it is my privilege. And I'm indebted to those, not just the people that I loved. I'm indebted to those that I don't love. I'm indebted to those that hate me. I'm indebted to those that try to take my life. He said, I'm indebted to everybody. Why? Because that was the will of God. 1 Corinthians 9 and 16, it says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Watch. For necessity is laid upon me. Necessity is laid upon me. Now, here's going to be my first side note that I want you to get. Sometimes you come to church out of necessity. Well, I just don't feel like it. Hey, I'm going to just preach. Can I preach just tonight? I don't care about your little feelings tonight. You certainly didn't care about the Lord's feelings at Calvary, did you? Did anybody say, well, I wish he would not have suffered and died? I just wish Jesus would have never suffered and died. No, we all thank God for the suffering and the death of Christ. Why? Because I benefit. We love it when somebody else suffers and I benefit. We love it when our world has gotten really used to somebody else paying the price and them benefiting from it. It's become an expectation. You've seen people out there during the government shutdown, somebody better get me my EBT. Get your own EBT. Don't be a bum. Don't be trying to be like a leech living off everybody. Hold on a second. I'm not being mean. Listen to me. You got the wrong guy, all right? I'm not that, well, there are people, they're, you know, helpless. We don't have 40 million helpless poor people in this country that can't go work a job. You got the wrong guy. You can go believe that and convince somebody else that they're a bunch of invalid. No, you got a bunch of people just leeching off the system. Now, hold on a second. We do that to the Lord, too. Sometimes in the church, you got a bunch of people just leech off the church. What can you do for me today, God? What can you do for me today, God? Well, I hope that message touches me. I hope it blesses me. I hope the church blesses me at Thanksgiving or blesses me at Christmas. Now, that's not wrong in itself unless at some point we all have to become debtors. See, not a lot of cheering there. At some point, we all have to become debtors like Paul was. At some point, we all need to do things out of necessity. I asked you if I could preach tonight, right? I ain't going to lie to you. It bothered me that we got a 77-year-old sister, Karen, who was here 2 days cleaning for hours, and we got some of you young girls couldn't even lift a finger to show up. And there is not one excuse in the world that's acceptable unless you were in the hospital or you just had a baby. We'll cut you a little bit of slack there. But we're not cutting your family slack. I told you I'm going to come preach tonight. I brought my baseball bat, and you can pitch me fastballs. I don't care. I'm ready to hit all of them. Now, I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm just saying that should not be. We should not have a 77-year-old that considers herself a debtor and shows up and works, probably hurting everywhere, and you got people that are a quarter her age and can't come. Now, do you remember what my first opening question was? How many of you was the church there for you during a critical time of your life? I got a question for you. Why aren't you there now when the church needs you? I probably sat with almost every person in this church. Now, I'm not preaching about last week. That was just a bonus that I threw in. I probably sat with every person in this church. I probably sat in almost every home. I probably went out to lunch and paid with almost every person here. Why? Because I feel like I'm a debtor. Do you know why I feel like I'm a debtor? Because my pastor, he let me show up at his house and infringe on his family time. More than once, I would hang out there like a big dummy thinking I was probably always welcome. And I can tell you there's probably times like I wish he'd go home. But I wasn't smart enough. I loved being there. I loved being around them. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. And he never once made me feel like I wasn't welcome. You know why? Because he probably felt like a debtor. He probably felt like it's somewhere in his life. I want you to be convicted before you leave this building tonight. He probably felt like it's somewhere in his life somebody invested in him. And so now he invested in me. And you know what that means? That means we're indebted to each other. And that means if somebody has done unto me, then I am indebted to do it back unto somebody else. I'm going to preach to Kristen just for a minute because I know I can preach to her. So I'm going to preach to her for a second. Your father died. I was there at your house the day he died. I sat with you guys all day. Now, I'm not preaching at you, so don't think I am. I sat with you all day. I was there for days afterwards. Talked about taking you guys on a family vacation. I made a promise to your father on his deathbed that I would be there for you girls. He asked me, take care of my girls and make sure they're in church. And I've done everything. And you know what? How many times I've inconvenienced my own family for it? We took Caitlin on a trip to England with us. You know how many times I've inconvenienced my family? A lot. Do I regret it? Not at all. Now you go and indebt yourself. Now you go and indebt yourself. And not just the people that you love, to somebody else, to the Greeks and to the barbarians and to the Romans, those who persecute you. I can go on down the list. I can keep on trucking if you let me. Ashley, I have spent more time with your mother and at your guys' house, and we've done more for your family than I could even think about and add up. Now, I'm not calling these folks out to embarrass them. That's not my point. I'm just using these as examples. And so at some point in your, and you don't even know the money we poured into your mother. You don't even know the amount of money we poured in. When she moved up here, and I'm not saying this to demean her at all. When she moved up here, do you know who went looking for her furniture? I did. You know who got a truck and made sure we got furniture to her house and we bought half of it? I did. And then there were others that did over the years. There are women that went to that house and helped clean when she got overwhelmed. For the first year, or I think it was a year, when we got her moved, she didn't have a car. People picked up these kids and got them to daycare every single day. And do you know who got her a job? I did. And that ain't the first one. You know who got her first car? I did. You know who got Chantel's first car? I did. You know who got Kristen, whatever your name is, the new mother over here? You know who got her first car? I did. And you know, every single one of those times, I took time from my family. Every single time. You know who got Jasmine her first car? I did. I let her make me payments on it. We even helped her with her insurance for the first year and a half. You know who taught her to drive and was scared to death? I did. Is she still in here? Good. She would change lanes like this on the freeway, and I'm not exaggerating. I know she still does. Thank you. I know. I asked her the other day, I said, you still change lanes? No, I got all that worked out of me. I don't think you do. I've seen you. Do you know, can I preach? Do you know how many kids here in this church have been to our house dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of times? We did. There are times we have 3 and 4 kids over. We even got money to feed them. We're like, what are we going to do? I'm like, I don't know. Let them starve. I don't really care. You want to come over? Come on over. But we ain't got food. There's a clause. We can't feed 9 kids, but they keep coming. And we love them. And we love them coming over. But do you know how much we have inconvenienced our family? Now, I'm not saying it to make anybody feel bad. Do you know why? One reason, and one reason only. We love people. And we are debtors to the Greeks and to the barbarians. You say, barbarians? Oh, we've had people at our house we didn't want there. You better believe it. Oh, yes. And to the Romans, people who persecuted us. Why am I preaching this to you? Because I felt this earlier in the week. Because you need to go do the same. Now, I'm not here to make anybody feel bad about work week. That's not my point. But when we had a good crowd, this place should have been overflowing with people. But it wasn't. Do you know why? Because some have not indebted themselves yet the way you should. Years. Now, I know this is going to come off. I hope it doesn't come off bad. I don't mean for it to. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing of to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Paul didn't do it for joy. He did it because he felt indebted. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, woe unto me if I don't do this. He didn't want to preach. Some people love preaching. He didn't want to preach. I don't like to preach out. I know you don't. You probably think I do. I don't. I complain about it every time. I dread missing my church every time I preach out. I dread it. I dread not being here. But I tell my wife, I feel like if this is where God wants me on this given Sunday, that I need to do it. I need to. Why? Because I'm indebted. And we left Niles, and I'm still getting text messages. They're thanking. Thank you, man. That was so perfect. It was so timely. Sometimes you need someone to come up under you and to help hold your hands. Why? Because we feel indebted. Because the biggest problem in the church today is not enough people feel indebted. Because we forgot what Jesus did for us. But Paul never forgot. He never forgot who he was. He never forgot where he came from. Time, listen to me. Don't go, let time march on. You get married, you got what you want now, and you just drop everybody else and forget anybody else existed. Don't, once God turns your life around and gives you the desires of your heart, now all of a sudden you just forget all about everything and everybody else. Oh, but I'd love to be there, Pastor, but liar. I really want to be there, but liar. Because if you wanted to, you would. Now, I asked you if I could preach. You said I could. Watch. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. If I do it willingly. So the things we do willingly, good, great, you're going to have a reward. He said, but if I go against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. You know why we're still preaching about Paul today? Because a dispensation of the gospel was committed to him. Because he did what was against his will. Because he indebted himself. Because he labored. And he wasn't ever willing to throttle it back. Why? Because he was a heathen and a persecutor. And he stood there and held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death and watched him breathe his last words and listened to Stephen say his last breath and listened to him say, Father, I commend my spirit into your hands, or however he worded it. And he never forgot it. It was burned in his brain. We should never forget what God has done for us and the people that he put into our lives at the most critical times of our lives. We should never just take our lunch and go home. We need a spirit of indebtedness. Why? I'm going to tell you why in the end. It's got to come upon the church. And then in verse 18, he says, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the God, thank you. I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though if I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And the Bible talks about those all Jews, those that are without the law, the weak. Paul, he put himself right there. He did whatever he needed to do. Don't ever think that it doesn't matter those little kids aren't sitting on that pew. It matters more than life itself. They need to grow and learn with hope. I'm just going to leave it right there. I was one of those kids, Pastor Tyler. I was one of those kids who had no hope until the bus came down the road. And we used to sing the song, the bus is rolling on, the bus is rolling on, from the east side to the west side, down Broadview we'll travel, we'll raise our banners high, a new bus will buy. We're singing, shouting, praise the Lord, for the bus is rolling on. How do I remember that 40 years later? I'll tell you how. Because it became something to me. Because I saw the sacrifices someone made to drive that bus. Someone made to have those church doors open, and it stuck in my spirit. It became a part of me. And so Paul said, I'm free from all men. Listen, you can do whatever you want to do. But he said, but I've made myself servant unto all. Why? He was indebted. He was indebted. I got a question for you. Are you thankful for the church? 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, as we were allowed to be put in trust, God gave me his permission. I can't speak for other people, but I know to this day, there's not a moment I walk up to the pulpit where I don't care if it's a Wednesday night or a Sunday or I'm out somewhere else, where I don't thank God for trusting me with his gospel. I thank him because he didn't owe anything to me. He didn't have to have me. I don't have something great that God needed. No, but he trusted me with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Paul understood, and he treated seriously the reality that Jesus was gone. He knew, I can't just expect somebody else to pick up this cross. I just can't presume that somebody else is going to get it done. I can't just presume that somebody else will take on the responsibility or have the burden. Paul said, I've got to do it myself. Myself. The Lord left the gospel and he left people in his, Paul's, and our hands to care for. So for me, I've never forgot the patience that my pastor had with me, so I try to have that same level of patience with others. And you say, well, how much was it? I don't know. As far as long as I was there, he never ran out. At least he didn't show it. So I don't feel like I can ever run out of patience for somebody else. Listen, don't say, well, Pastor, I don't call you because I don't want to bother you. I appreciate that, but I'll decide who bothers me and who doesn't. If I don't want to answer your call, I won't answer it. I'm getting good at it. I am. Well, I'm not really good at it. I am with the telemarketers. But what I'm saying is I do because I want to, because I want to pay my debt. I don't want someone else paying my debt. I don't want somebody else buying my field. And it's not doesn't surprise me that Brother Fred and Sister Karen, I'm just going to pick on them for a moment, two of the most giving people in the world, will give everything they have. It's not a surprise that they showed up for 2 days of work day. Because when it's in you, it's in you. And it's in you for no other reason. If I could ask them right now, I promise you, they would tell me that they feel indebted to this gospel. They feel indebted to what, because of everything that God has done for them, where he's brought them from, because nobody knows our story like I do. You might see the end result, but you don't know what the beginning product was. I do. And so I'm indebted. I'm indebted. I'm indebted. God, well, I'm busy. So am I. So is everybody else that was here. But we're indebted. We're indebted. That's not a pick on anybody. And I know some people couldn't be here, and they tried, and they couldn't because of work. I understand that. You said I could preach. I'm going to go here. Remember all those kids I just told you have been over our house over the years? Probably, honestly, probably thousands. I'm not going to. You know how many people have invited our kids to their house? Very small number. I mean, very small. Think I'm joking? Very small. Very small. Why? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they just want to dump their kids. I don't know. But you know why I like them when coming into my house? Even if we are tired, we don't have the money to feed them, I'll tell you why. Because I was once that kid. And I loved going to my pastor's house. And I love sitting in his basement. I love sitting around their table. And I love hanging out there until dinner was served. And you want to join us for dinner? They probably didn't want me joining them for dinner. I can promise you. Why? Because sometimes you just want to have your family time. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. That's not what I'm saying at all. But sometimes you got to feel indebted. Jeremiah 20 and 9. I'm going to read the middle of this verse. You pick it up right there. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Why did Jeremiah give his life to preach to the Jews and wind up in prison many times? I'll tell you why. Because his word was in his heart as a burning fire shut up in his bones. Do you know what the problem with the church today is? Sometimes that word's not even there at all. Because if the word was in our heart like Jeremiah, like a burning fire, shut up, you got to do something. You got to do something. I got to do something. I have to bless somebody. I don't know about all of you, and I know there are those of you that like that are like, but man, I want to bless somebody everywhere I go, every day. I keep buying all these gift cards, Dunkin' Donuts, just handing them out to people. I just want to bless you. I just want to be a blessing to you in a small way, a big way. You know, we're working on some things for some people here during the holidays, and we're taking some families on, and we've got some kids here that we're going to take on, and I will say no more about that one. And we want to do Thanksgiving and why? Because we're indebted. That's why. And God. When you do, God does. If his word is not burning within you, then you are soaked with your own desires and your own will. And we have to get out of the habit of discarding and forgetting what's preached. Luke 10:36. It says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Talking about the Good Samaritan. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. And I want to say in the Holy Ghost, not just to say it, but in the Holy Ghost, I want to say to this church tonight, go and do thou likewise. What you have seen done to you, you should be doing to somebody else. A preacher preached a couple years ago, and I wrote down a statement, and he said, God, deliver us from the takers. Go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. He said, which one was, he said, who showed mercy on him? And Jesus said, go and do. He showed mercy to you. You show mercy to somebody else. And you don't get to pick who you show mercy to. God puts them in your path. How easily we forget, right? How easily we forget the mercy that was shown upon us. I don't know about you, and I keep saying that statement because I don't know. But when I pray, I thank God for his mercy. Because he did not have to have mercy on me. He still doesn't need to have mercy on me, but he does. He chooses to be merciful to me and patient with me, even though I don't deserve it. How easily we can forget that we've been poured into, we have been invested in, and now it is our time to invest in others. It was prophesied that there would be a perpetual shortage of laborers. The Bible says, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest that you send forth laborers. Now watch this. You want me to shock you? I'm going to shock you. If I could ask some people to be honest tonight, you would admit that you don't even pray for laborers rather than be a laborer. But when you need, Pastor, I need something. It's one thing to not even do, but it's another to not even collectively pray for labor. Now, I'm not picking on our church. This is a global issue. I remember years ago when Anthony Mangan sat in our minister's meeting, and he said, don't think because we have 3,500 people in our church that we can't get Sunday school teachers. He said, we can't get Sunday school teachers. You know why? Because we live in a generation of takers. What you got for me? Line up. What you got? I'm big on sending out thank you cards. Years ago, I read a survey that said most people don't even do it anymore. You know why? Just give me. I don't have time to write thank you cards. I just, well, give me. Just give me. Give me. Give me. Give me. Give me. Now, again, I'm not saying that that's everybody here. That's not my point. But I am asking that we all really, really, really look at ourselves and say, what has the Lord done for me? Who has he placed in my life that took that time, that took their family time? I went home one time, I asked my wife to keep me accountable. I went home one day and she said, you asked me to keep you accountable. She said, you haven't been home for dinner in 2 weeks. I didn't even realize it. I said, no, are you serious? She said, yep, 2 weeks. I haven't sat with my kids for 2 weeks at the dinner table. That's nobody else's fault. I feel indebted. Yes, you got to find that balance. Yes, that is absolutely necessary. But it's also necessary that we are indebted. So it was prophesied that there would be a perpetual shortage of laborers. I just don't want to be a part of the shortage. I don't want to be the guy that God has done so much for. And yet I just squeak by with whatever little bit I can. James 1:21-23. It says, if any be a hearer, you might not have this scripture, I'm not sure. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. If he's a hearer, not a doer. Brad, you're a doer. I admire that about you. Brad single-handedly, and now I know he's got some help back there. He single-handedly keeps the Conneaut building pristine. And when he does it, he doesn't rush to get it done. I mean, all the mulch had washed away over the last 2 years. We didn't want to spend more money in mulch because Conneaut doesn't have a lot of money. And so he went out there, and I mean like a professional. Now, I think, Justine, you might have helped him some. I don't know who did what. But, man, I mean, cut the edges out and spent a week and a half, 2 weeks, shovel by shovel, wheelbarrow by wheelbarrow, after we got the stone dumped it. He went and picked up himself, too. And he put it in those flower beds and spread it out. It looks immaculate. We couldn't have paid and got a better job. I'm telling you, honest to God's truth. I don't know why, but Brad and Brian. Brian's the same way. I ain't gonna lie, your brother outdoes you some. But you are married. When he gets married, he might back off a little bit. We're gonna have to work on that too. If any be a hearer of the word, listen, I'm almost done, but let's just look at that just for a moment. That's not just the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's doing. It's not just repentance. That's for me. It's not just baptism. That's for me. It's not just the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's for me. It's not just so God can bless you when you have a need. That's for me. No. He said, you go into the world. You know what that means? Get out of the comfort of your home. Get out of the comfort of your schedule once in a while and go out there and do as Christ did for us. And that's why Paul was the man that he was. So if we won't be a doer of the word, we're always going to be a taker of the word. If we won't be a doer of the word, we will not do when it comes to our own life and our own spiritual maintenance. We won't do because it becomes a habit, a lifestyle. We get used to taking and not doing. Listen to me. I promise you right now, if I had some folks that want to be bold and be honest, people that are not really engaged in doing in the church have very little, if any, prayer life. I promise you. I would stake my soul on that statement. You know why? Because we get used to being a taker. When the Spirit is moving and everything feels great, I'm going to go up and I'm going to take a little bit today. I'm going to receive. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and cleanse this thirsting of my soul. You know, I've never heard a song about go into all the world. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. I never heard any songs like that. It's all give me songs. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Am I okay? Am I okay? Tell me. Be honest. I'll shield you. If we won't do prayer, we won't do fasting. We won't do discipline. I'm sorry, we won't do tithing either. We might give a little bit to try and appease our conscience. Now listen, I don't look at the records. I have no clue who does and who doesn't. And guess what? I don't want to know. You know why? Because I don't want to get annoyed at you. It's a serious statement. I wasn't joking. I don't want to get frustrated when I know who we do for, but they don't want to do back. Now, with tithing, you have an out there, because normally that's not because people don't want to do. Sometimes they have a fear of doing. And you have to learn, you'll never get ahead until God gives you, advances you, and takes you. It'll never happen. I'm just telling you, won't happen. You want me to start pointing to people? I can show you people over the years who wouldn't tithe and their life a financial train wreck. I'm going to tell you something I wasn't going to tell anybody. My wife's going to get mad at me. And I'm going to say it. I told you not to say anything, but I'm going to say it. Got a phone call last night. I'm telling you this for you. Talk, talk, talk. How's things going? How's the church? Blah, blah, blah. Pastor, make sure you take care of yourself. You got to make sure you take care, you know, make sure you have some money to retire on, blah, blah, blah. Well, we've probably got a whopping $75,000 so far. I'm 52 for retirement. Plus a whopping $3,000 a month, what the financial guy said that we would get with Social Security at this point. Well, that's real encouraging. So anyway, I didn't tell him all this. I'm just talking. And he says, Pastor, he says, I'm sending you a $25,000 check. I told him I want to replace these two doors because we weren't going to before because we were going to put the addition over there. Well, now we're not, so we want to replace them. So he says, I want you to replace the doors, and I want you to take the rest of the money and put it in your retirement account, which would be probably $15,000. I've never had anybody do something like that for us like that in our entire lives. And you know the only thing I thought? Now, you can't live on $15,000 for a year. But for somebody to do that, that shows how God blesses when you always give. He blesses. He provides. And I'm gonna say this to you. I'm gonna prophesy this to you. Because we have always put ourselves on the back burner. Don't feel sorry for us. We're indebted. It's what we choose to do. God, I watch this. If you're still here with me, God isn't done giving. God's going to send another bigger blessing to us down the road. Watch. Because God is the provider. And when you do, he says, I'll do. And there's nothing more exciting about giving into the kingdom and blessing the kingdom and watching God do. He is a doer. And so we'll always be seeking for the Lord to do for us. I thought about something this week. I was going to put it on Facebook, but I've banished Facebook other than one thing about taxes. I'm too tired of taxes anymore. God help us. And watch, this is what I thought about this week. In prayer, I felt like the Lord just spoke this to me. And that is, Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that verse. But when he shared this with me, it went this way. People love that I will never leave them or forsake them, but most of them will leave and forsake anybody. I thought, wow. Why? Because we live in a world of takers and not doers. Now, I'm not saying that is not our church. We have a great church, and I think we have great people. And there's very few people that don't do, but I believe that we're moving into an era and a stage where God is calling us to give more. Now, I'm not talking about money right now. 2 Corinthians 9:6, my last verse, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Now, let's take it and turn it to the dreadful old money just for a minute as we close. We're not taking an offering, don't worry. If I want God to pour out little blessings on me, I'll put $2 in the offering plate. If I want God to pour out big blessings on me, I'm going to give whatever he asks me to give. And that's why I give my offering every week. Ask my wife. Sometimes I give my card to my kids and I say, please, I hope it goes through. I do. I think it always has. Maybe one time it will. No, I think it always has. Praise God. And my wife gets mad at me. She yells at me. Because sometimes if I don't have it, I'll put $100 on the credit card. You know why? Now, I'm not saying that's wise advice. A financial planner would not agree with you there. You know why? Do you know why I do that? I'm going to tell you exactly why I do that. Years ago, when Brother Pasley was still alive, he was here with us once. We went out to Niles, and he just started, told the boys to go buy something, got my wife a coffee pot. Did he ever give me anything that day? I don't know if he bought me anything. She still has a coffee pot. I watched him take out his credit card, and it got declined. And he grabbed another one he put on his credit card. I remember when he told me the story, when he said, when we went to buy this building, this property, he said they wouldn't sell it to us. They wanted, it was something like $1.5 million. And this was long, 25 years ago. And he told me, he said, God told me one day that if I'll pour into missions, God will provide the property. He said, I took the first $5,000 to put on my own credit card for missions. He said, his own card. And some of you have heard this story. And everything they gave to missions over a period of 5 years was the exact amount. They actually discounted the property, and they sold to him for like $250,000. They wanted almost $1.5 million. When you do, God does. When we do, God does. Listen to me. Just talk to somebody this week. Well, let me finish this verse. Every man giveth, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So God says you can choose what you want to give. Money, not money, time, whatever you can choose. He said, so let him give. Don't do it grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. We really, all of us, I'll start with me, should really pray, God, in these last days, don't let me be a taker. I want to be a doer. Whatever you ask, God won't ask too much. He never does. But I don't want to be, I don't want to just be a taker. Why? You got my first verse, put it back up there. Because I feel I am indebted. Brother Fred, Sister Karen, we struggled so much financially. They would just call me up and say, Pastor, go to the slaughterhouse, pick up some meat. One day they roll out this cart this high, filled with meat. I almost cried. And they always, always blessed. And I remember the day I drove down East Union Road and I saw this turtle for sale, the storage thing you put on top of your vehicle. And I've been wanting to get one just in case. And he had a $35 sign on it. I pulled up and the guy came out. I said, I'll take it. He goes, all right. He goes, just go ahead and take it. Now, that's my language. I mean, that is my language. And if I ever got into a fight with myself, I did that day. It's like two personalities came out. And one personality said, take it and run. And the other one said, no, just give him the money. I thought, no. Yes. No, he told me to take it. Just give him the money. I'm having this conversation with myself. And I handed him over the $35. I'm driving them. I'm like, why did you do that? And I felt that day, Brother Fred, that day, I felt like God tell me, you're going to be a doer now, not a taker anymore. And from that day forward, I have decided I'm going to do for other people. God has sent people to do for me. And obviously, we don't need it, or God would still be sending people. But now God says, you can do. You can now be a doer. You can be more of a giver now. And from that point on, I decide I'm going to keep doing, and I'm going to keep giving, and I'm going to do, and I'm going to give, and I'm going to do, and I'm going to give. And when the offering plate comes around, I'm not going to see how much little I can squeeze out. I'm going to give the best of thing I think I can give. And that's just the way it is. And when the building program starts, and we start in January raising money, you know what I'm going to do? I want to be the first one. And now some other people has already given to that. There's somebody here that they took money, I don't know, out of their 401k or savings or something, and they wanted to give a big check, and we were doing the pond. You just can't outdo God. God is looking for doers in these last days. He's looking for doers. Why? Because you can't reach the lost unless you have doers. Whether your job is to go out there and knock on doors, or whether your job is to give so you can put gas in the van, or whether your job is to go on a missions trip and be a blessing, whatever that is, God wants doers. Why? Because he did all. He gave everything. I don't want to sit in my chair when people are out doing. Now, once in a while, I'm done. I'm stopping. I want to make sure I'm clear. But I don't know. I just don't think you can. I grew up hearing you can't outgive God, and I just don't think you can. All my kids, I thank God for them because they all come to the church and they do. And they help. They got girlfriends, and that makes it a little harder right there. I ain't gonna lie to you. But who of us wasn't there when we dated and it kind of messed you all up and you had to kind of get yourself back together? And I don't praise my kids a lot, but they're doers. And they'll do when I ask them to do. And they've been a part of us and what we've done here. And so many of you have been doers. Kenny is a doer. You could call Kenny up and almost any time, and Kenny would drop it and do it. He would. Because Kenny is a doer, because Kenny loves to do. There are other people that are like that. There's many people that are like that. But can we be real? I know I've gone over time, but some of us have gotten used to taking. God convict us tonight. Would you close your eyes? Lord, conviction is not a bad thing, is not a bad word. Convict us. Convict us, I pray right now in the Holy Ghost. Teach us to be doers, to be doers. God, to lead our families and teach them to do. God, help us. The harvest is plenteous. Laborers, there's not enough doers. There's not enough doers. I'm thankful for the church, so I'm going to do whenever God calls upon me. I'm going to do. I'll ask Him to help me to have balance. I'll ask Him to help me to do better. I'll ask Him, teach me, God, how to make sure my family don't suffer while I'm doing. But the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. I was praying for my kids this week, and God reminded me of that scripture. And He said, sometimes when you just keep doing and it's consistent, that alone will get in their spirit, and that will keep them when they want to run the other direction. God, help us. Help us, God, to be doers. Help us, God, to be a church that does, because there are people that need somebody to do. We're going to hand out Thanksgiving dinners. We need some people to do.
All of heaven rose your name.
Jesus, help us.
Sing louder.
Let your presence, God, fall over this place.
Praise. Can you hear it?
Hallelujah.
The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father, all of heaven rose your name.
Oh, Jesus.
Sing louder.
Lord, we need you.
Let this place
you, Jesus, were a doer.
Can you hear?
You were a doer.
It?
I have benefited because of your doing. I want to be a doer of God. I thank God for this church and for the people that do so much.
Break out.
Oh, I thank God. Hallelujah.
And break our walls down.
Help us to do without expecting, unless
Spirit
you provide.
Break out.
Jesus.
Heaven come down, O King Jesus, King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high, your glory shaking up the earth and skies, revival, we want to see your kingdom here. King Jesus, You're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and skies. Revival. We want to see your kingdom here. We want to see your kingdom here. Spirit, break out. Our walls down. Spirit, break out. In heaven, come down, oh Spirit. In Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. In Spirit, break out. In heaven, come down. Yes, Jesus. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your glory of your goodness. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, sing Spirit. In Spirit, break out. And break our walls down. In Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down, oh Spirit. In Spirit, break out. And break our walls down. In heaven, come down. King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and skies. Revival. We want to see your kingdom here. We want to see your kingdom here.
We're so thankful for the word we heard tonight. I pray, God, that this word wouldn't leave this altar, God, and then just stay here, Lord. But God, that we would leave this place with this word in our heart and in our mind. God, to be doers of your word. God, not takers, Lord. I pray, God, that you would give us a burden, God, for this area. Lord, for our homes, God, for our schools, for our jobs, God. God, to go out and do what you've done for us, God, time and time and time again. I pray, God, that you give us strength, Lord, as we walk out of this place, God, and give us people on our minds, God, to go out and do for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can pray as long as you like.
Just go ahead. You keep praying or whatever. I was just thinking, we've taken Braden on vacation with us. We took Brandon on vacation with us. There's other young men we've taken on vacation with us. Brenna's going to be my daughter-in-law next year. We took her on vacation with us. And the list goes on. We took Riley on vacation with us. We love to do, and God honors doing. Amen. Anybody else here we ever take? I already said you. I said Colin.